Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning. It's Friday, March 27th, and you're listening to the College Football Daily, a 24/7 sports podcast dedicated to catching you up on and breaking down the day's college football news. My name is Trey Scott. It took 4 hours and 14 minutes for Arkansas and Ole Miss to stage that 7-overtime classic in 2001. Back in 2001, before the air raid had taken over college football, that was a really, 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 really long time. Thankfully, it did not take nearly as long to rewatch that game this week, thanks to YouTube, which was not even invented in 2001. Do you remember Arkansas, Ole Miss, 2001, 7 overtimes? Probably. You probably at least remember hearing about it. Because back in 1996, college football instituted overtime rules. And this one in 2001 became the first of eventually 5 games to go 7 overtimes. The last one was in 2018 with Texas A&M and LSU playing each other. And that was such an exhausting game that college football then changed their overtime rules. I had not thought about Arkansas Ole Miss for a while. But it was always like, I've always remembered it, but I hadn't thought about it for a while until actually in January. I was at a Tennessee Titans playoff watch party in Nashville and started talking to an older Ole Miss fan who was at the game. It was in Oxford. And the fan left after like the 3rd overtime because it was just time to go home. And the fan actually forgot how the game ended. And I was like, I did too. So we had to Google the result and we're like, oh, Arkansas won. And that makes sense. Like, the fact that a game was 7 overtimes is much more memorable than the fact that the final score was Arkansas 58, Ole Miss 56. So here are my notes from rewatching it. And I'm excited about this podcast because we have some cool guests coming up. The game, it had its sloppy moments, but it was also a throwback that I found really refreshing and nostalgic to watch. We had bootlegs. We had play action fakes under center. We had the I formation. We had quick slants. We had a fullback. We had Archie Manning in the stands listening to the radio with his yellow headphones. Remember when people did that? Do people still do that? We've progressed quite a bit since then, and I guess this is my opportunity to mention that Colonel Reb was still Ole Miss's sideline mascot, and that figure would be removed from the sidelines in 2003, so we're still in 2001. And think about all the other things that have changed, right? Like, I mean, sure, things have changed. It's 19 years ago, but Eli Manning just retired. Arkansas had a freshman named Matt Jones who had his welcome to the world moment in that game or the week before against Auburn, perhaps. And at that point, he was just a fun and really rare back then dual threat quarterback with 4-5 speed who had yet to flame out as an NFL wide receiver. Arkansas coach Houston Nutt was 7 years away actually from becoming the Ole Miss head coach. And then Ole Miss head coach David Cutcliffe is actually still kicking it as Duke's head coach. And he just mentored Eli's eventual New York Giant replacement, Daniel Jones. Going to set the scene a little bit and then jump to our expert interviews. Hogsports.com's Trey Biddy, part of the 24/7 Sports Network, a lifelong Arkansas follower who remembers the game extremely well and has some fun Matt Jones stories. And then my first ever 24/7 Sports boss, Bobby Burton. You've probably heard of him, a founding father of the recruiting industry who actually went to New Orleans to scout Eli Manning in high school. All right, setting the stage, it's November 3rd, 2001, less than 2 months after 9/11, which I thought was relevant timing given the current time of coronavirus crisis we're recording this podcast in. Ole Miss enters the game 6-1, Cutcliffe's in his third year, riding the talented right arm of sophomore quarterback Eli Manning, son of Archie, younger brother of Peyton, who was in his first season as this full-time starter. He was awesome. This loss, though, it crushed them. So they were 6-1. They lost this game. They'd eventually slide to 7-4. Arkansas entered the game 4-3 under Houston Nutt, who was in his fourth year. They'd go 7-5, but at least in the process of that bumpy season, find their quarterback of the future in Matt Jones. They played 4 quarterbacks in the opener of that season, but they'd find Matt Jones as their future, and they'd find a really fun, talented nucleus for a team that would be fondly remembered by Arkansas fans in the years to come. On to that game, it was 17-17 after regulation, 58-56 after seven overtime, so obviously a lot happened. Eli had his moments. It was fun to watch a spry Eli Manning throwing while running left, throwing off his back foot, perfectly executing end zone fades. You know, like you watch Eli Manning now, or I guess you finish watching him, and it's like, kind of bums you out. Because you're like, okay, he doesn't have it anymore. He's making sad faces. He's kind of a meme. But back then, Eli was the man. He had clearly arrived as one of college football's best quarterbacks. And of his 31 touchdowns that sophomore season, six were thrown in this game. Matt Jones looked ahead of his time. It's 2001. Like, we dual threat quarterbacks were not really a thing then. He had Manziel-esque ability to buy time in the pocket, despite the fact he only completed three passes in this game. And his running aptitude was just absurd. It was incredible. Producer Tawny Levitt notes that his patience was a la Le'Veon Bell. He had awesome speed, as I mentioned. And on the first play of the third overtime, Matt Jones just fakes a run, bootlegs out, 25-yard touchdown to the right. Plenty of clutch moments here, several by Eli, which was nice to see, including a fourth down slant into double coverage to keep hope alive. Four touchdown drive and seven overtimes, but the game ended shortly after when the Rebels could not convert a two-point conversion that they needed to get the game into eight overtimes. Thankfully, we didn't have that, because even before they didn't convert, ESPN had just shown an exhausted Matt Jones slouched back on the bench. Like, his head was missing. All you could see was his number nine white uniform. He was that tired. He would become an SEC star, but having never completed over 60% of his passes in the next three seasons, and with those fleet feet, the NFL tabbed him as a wide receiver. The Jags took him in 2005's first round, and he kind of was a bust, but he's fondly remembered in these circles, fondly remembered in the SEC, and we're going to toss it to Trey Biddy, my interview with the other Trey, Trey Biddy, and we're going to talk about Matt Jones in particular and this fun Arkansas team, and then we're going to get to Bobby Burton talking about Eli.
He kicks this time. You have the wind at his back. That means anything for him. Jones with the bootleg keeper. Matt Jones, touchdown. How about the true freshman? One play, 25-yard Arkansas touchdown. And then the third overtime and on, you go for two.
All right, Trey, I had a good time watching this game. And I don't think I ever actually watched it in 2001, but I remember the box score in the newspaper the next morning, I think, if it published on time. But I'm assuming you watched it in real time, and I'd love to kind of know what that was like for you.
Well, I mean, obviously it was very exciting. Matt Jones is one of the most exciting Razorbacks to ever come through, and he was just a freshman that year, you know. So he had actually made his debut. Now, this year Arkansas played three SEC games by week four. So they had jumped right into it, and had gotten off to a pretty bad start. They were averaging those first three games, they'd averaged like 9 points a game. And Matt Jones didn't make his debut until a game at Georgia in week four. Okay. And at that point, he was playing wide receiver. He started out at wide receiver. The next game against Weber State, he had a 57-yard run, still hadn't played a whole lot. And then they played South Carolina and then Auburn. The Auburn game, they had a week off before this Auburn game. It was number 17 Auburn coming to Fayetteville. And Arkansas whipped them 42-17. And this was Matt Jones's real coming out party. Okay. So he had rushed for like 99 yards. He completed his first pass, which was a 21-yard touchdown. And again, this was just a true freshman. For those who don't know about Matt Jones, just fast forward to NFL Combine. Okay. So 4 years later, 6'6", 243 pounds, runs a 4.43 in the 40-yard dash in sweatpants. Okay, ended up being drafted, I think, number 17 overall in the first round as a wide receiver, not as a quarterback. He'd kind of had some shoulder issues there towards the end of his career, so ended up getting drafted as a wide receiver. So that's who Matt Jones is. He was a long, striding guy. He always looked like he was moving slower because he was so long, and he would just hit the corner and just run straight by people. Tons of huge, long touchdown runs throughout his career. So that's kind of setting the stage going into this Ole Miss game. Okay, so this game is at Oxford. I believe it's the eighth game of the season, November 3rd, okay, 2001. So Jones barely plays in this game. okay, during the regular time. He barely plays in the game. And it's like, it's 7-7 at halftime. Arkansas scores with 20 seconds left to go before halftime, and it's 7-7. This is a game that ended up being 58-56. Okay. At the end of regulation, it's 17-17. Jones comes in really and starts taking over the game in the fourth quarter. Okay. It leads them down. They score. Then Ole Miss answers and scores. And this sends it into overtime. Okay. So this, by the way, is one of about 18 nail-biter games over the next 4 years with Matt Jones at quarterback. So it was, you know, the cardiac hogs during this time. So Matt Jones goes into the game, and he ends up rushing. I believe he went over 100 yards rushing. His longest run was just 25 yards because it was, you know, they started at the 25-yard line. But to me, this was really an introduction of Matt Jones to the world. And he ends up, you know, what's interesting about this game also is it could have ended so many times because the third, the fourth, and the fifth overtimes, nobody scored a 2-point conversion. Nobody. So right. It wasn't until the sixth overtime, Matt Jones. The good thing about Matt Jones is not only was he super fast and elusive, 18 carries, 110 yards, two touchdowns, 3 of 6 passing, 61 yards and a touchdown, and he was super lucky also. Did you ever see Deadpool, the second Deadpool, where the girl's superpower is luck? That reminds me of Matt Jones because, you know, both of those 2-point conversions in the sixth and seventh overtime were just prayers. They were just prayers. So
the one to Jason Peters.
Yeah, Jason Peters.
I was like, Jason Peters. And I was like, yo, that's the Jason Peters.
Yeah, so Jason Peters played tight end at Arkansas. And this, we're talking about Matt Jones, Trey, but the interesting thing about this is the other cast of characters, and I'm not as familiar with Ole Miss, but obviously Eli Manning ended up being the first-round draft pick at quarterback. And played, you know, had a long NFL career. But Arkansas had a lot of really great players. Kenny Hamlin, if you remember him, long, long career with the Dallas Cowboys at safety. When he left, he was Arkansas's all-time leading tackler. And Tony Bua, who actually overtook him. Tony Bua was a fifth-round draft pick, I believe, by Miami Dolphins. You had Caleb Miller on that team, was a sophomore, ended up being a third-round draft pick. Carlos Hall had a long NFL career. I think he was a seventh-round pick. Ahmad Carroll was a starting cornerback as a true freshman on that team, who was a first-round draft pick. Eddie Jackson played a long time in the NFL, also at cornerback. And I believe Eddie also went on to win Next Food Network Star. Jermaine Petty, he didn't even have an NFL career, but he was a first-team All-SEC linebacker on that team. And Arkansas's last first-team All-SEC linebacker over a 15-year period till Martrell Spate got it in 2016, had 140 tackles that year. You also had Marvin Jackson, a punt returner, who was probably Arkansas's best punt returner since 1964 with Ken Hatfield. And then you go to the offensive side of the ball. We mentioned Jason Peters. Lined up next to him was Sean Andrews, who was a first-round draft pick. He was a freshman, true freshman on that team, starting at right tackle for Arkansas. George Wilson was a former walk-on wide receiver who ended up leading Arkansas in catches, didn't get drafted, turned himself into a safety, and played for like a decade in the NFL at safety. Cedric Cobbs was on that team, eventual draft pick at running back. Fred Talley, who was second-team All-SEC that year. Tavarius Jackson, who ended up starting for Minnesota Vikings, was actually a backup quarterback who transferred out. And a surprise guy on that team, I guess, would be Dow Loggins, who was a holder and now is the offensive coordinator for the New York Jets. So there was a lot of talent on that team for Arkansas. But you see what a difference Jones make. You know, I mentioned averaging 9 points a game the first three games before he came in, and then they averaged 30, win 6 in a row, and then their losses, they end up the year with a 41-38 loss at LSU and then lose 10-3 to number 10 Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl. A really good Oklahoma team, especially on defense that year. So, but yeah, Matt Jones went on to, even after this game, they played a 6-overtime game the next year at Tennessee. They lost that one. And then the year after that, they played another 7-overtime game against Kentucky and won that one.
Finding out Tavarius Jackson was on this team was surprising because I saw they played Arkansas played four quarterbacks in its opener. And to be honest, Trey, like I grew up watching Texas. And so I remember Matt Jones in 2002. Mm-hmm. And I knew he was on this 2001 team. And I go into my rewatch and I'm expecting them to trot Matt Jones out. And it's, I believe, Zach Clark or something. I'm like, huh. Mm-hmm. But you watch, and over the course of the game, like he looks ahead of his time as I don't even know, like he only completed three passes, but all of those were spectacular. He like kind of looked like a much bigger Johnny Manziel almost, just mm-hmm. like buying time in the pocket. And then he just had those natural running ability too. It's kind of incredible that he, like, I feel like if Matt Jones was in college football right now, he would probably, even as a true freshman, like should have been a day one starter.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You nailed it right there. There's never been anybody like him since. And, you know, the Johnny Manziel comparison is actually pretty good. The difference with Johnny Manziel and Matt was Manziel, you know, was around 6 foot and Matt was 6'6". And he was just such a strike. It never ceased to amaze me how often people would take a bad angle on him. And he was just unique. I mean, he really was. And I mentioned that 4.43 that he ran the 4.42 at the NFL Combine that he ran. He was in sweats. He was the most casual football player you've ever seen. And, you know, the stories of the next year, that team led by Matt Jones, he led him to the SEC championship game. Arkansas won 9 games each of the next 2 years. But the next year, he led him to the SEC championship game. And one of the most popular games in Razorback memory is the Miracle on Markham, which he said just to be whistling before he throws a touchdown bomb against Nick Saban and LSU. And the winner of the game goes to the SEC championship game. So Arkansas won that game on a bomb in Little Rock at War Memorial Stadium. And Matt Jones is said to be just whistling before the play. He was super calm. And, you know, as a freshman, this is a freshman, you know, and the game before that, against Auburn, he was instrumental in leading them to that game. And, you know, also I mentioned, you know, that Auburn game. I mentioned Fred Talley, who was on this team, who was a second-team All-SEC running back that year. If you ever go on an Auburn message board, every once in a while, even to this day, you'll see somebody say, hey, I just looked out my window and Fred Talley just ran by my freaking house. I think he ran for like 241 yards 1 year and then 200 something else the next year. He just always smoked Auburn. But that was a really fun team to watch. And when you look back, I think they only won 7 games that year. And so, but it really kind of set the foundation for the next 3 years after that.
Yeah, they went 7-5. Both of these teams, like Ole Miss was 6-1 entering this game and Ole Miss goes 6-4. I think it probably wore both sides out. Where does this game... I imagine a team this era of Arkansas football is regarded pretty highly with a great sense of nostalgia. Where does this game rank for you as a lifelong follower of Arkansas mm-hmm. among like favorite or most memorable? Like, I don't, you know, like I'm imagining you stayed up watching the whole thing. It must have been extremely exciting. But like, is this in the pantheon of best Arkansas games?
It's up there. I might say the best one for me probably would have been 2010 when Arkansas beat LSU in Little Rock. And I remember that because I was standing next to the guys on the Sugar Bowl selection committee, and I could hear them talking, you know, and basically deciding that Arkansas was going to be invited to the Sugar Bowl. So that was a pretty big one. Another LSU game, Houston Nutt's last year, 2007, they go down there with Darren McFadden, and McFadden goes crazy, and they beat LSU. I believe that was 3 overtimes, if I'm not mistaken, but they beat LSU in that one. LSU was number 1 in the country and still went on to win the national championship there that year. So a couple of LSU games, I would put this one up there. This was a big time game, obviously, a kind of a coming out for Matt Jones, a sign of things to come for him. For whatever reason, Arkansas was in, as I mentioned, 18 games over a 4-year career with Matt Jones at quarterback, with him deciding games basically at the end of the game. I think they went 10-8 in those games, but so many games because he just turned it on at the end. They would come storming back against teams. As I mentioned, there were 2 other overtime games. People just had a hard time stopping him, especially when they were getting tired. But 2 other, you know, a 7 overtime game and or 2 7 overtime games and a 6 overtime game. So all those are going to rank up there. I would also say another game against Ole Miss back in 2016 with it's known around Arkansas as the Hunter Heave or the Henry Heave.
Yep.
for Hunter Henry, nobody can seem to, I mean, it's like a literal 50-50 split on what to call it, Hunter Heave or Henry Heave. But that game where, I mean, it's fourth and 25. I should know that. But, yeah, maybe it's fourth and 25, I think so, 20-something. And, you know, they throw the ball to Hunter. He's going down. He flicks it back. Ole Miss sideline is celebrating. Hugh Freeze has got his fist in the air. Dan Skipper, who's 6'10", the only guy who could have tipped it, tips it. Alex Collins picks it up, probably the only guy capable of running it 25 yards for a first down. Fumbles the ball because he actually thinks that they need to score a touchdown, so he intentionally fumbles it. And then Arkansas falls on the ball and ends up going down and scoring and then getting a two-point conversion to win that one. That one's way up there, too. So it's hard to pick one. I mean, Arkansas has been in some heartbreakers, but it seems like LSU and Ole Miss are in a lot of them.
Well, I was going to say, when you look for this 2001 game on YouTube, like you type in Arkansas Ole Miss and that Hunter Henry whatever play comes up first, and it's just, and I was like, wow, Arkansas really has been involved in some nail biters. I'll send you out with this. Like, I was kind of looking, and everyone always talks about Arkansas. What's the secret to the success? And, you know, they say you got to recruit Texas, you got to recruit the surrounding areas, but it seems like they always have a homegrown star. Matt Jones is from Arkansas. Darren McFadden's from Arkansas. Brandon Allen was from Arkansas. Was Matt Jones? Yeah. Was Matt Jones like a big time recruit? Like back then when there really wasn't such a thing, or was he just kind of a guy they found?
He was in Arkansas. Arkansas people knew about him. I mean, just from basketball, football. I mean, he was an all-around athlete. He ended up playing basketball for the Razorbacks as well. But around Arkansas, people knew about him. But he was a three-star type of recruit coming out. But everybody around here was excited about Matt Jones. The arguments was, is he going to play wide receiver or is he going to be a quarterback? And I think most people thought wide receiver. But I remember the first time I ever saw him in a Razorback uniform, it was for a scrimmage. And Arkansas couldn't get anything going. Their first team quarterback against Arkansas's, you know, reserve defense, kind of how they structure scrimmages. And then they put Matt Jones in, flipping it the other way around with him with the reserve offense against the first team defense, and he led them all the way down the field. And it wasn't fast. It was just Matt Jones runs right, left, up the middle, over and over again. And I just remember thinking, wow, Matt Jones is the only guy moving the ball. And lo and behold, you know, it took four games for him to start getting them in, really five. But yeah, he changed the path of that whole season. And really it started with that Auburn game the week before, but then the Ole Miss game, I think, really put him on the map.
Yeah. The rest was history. Trey, good to have you on. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Trey Biddy has been the publisher of hogsports.com for 17 years. You can find his work at hogsports.com and 24/7 sports. We appreciate him joining us. Next up is an interview with Bobby Burton, who it's pretty fascinating when you can find a guy who saw both Peyton and Eli Manning in high school. So stay tuned because this is a good one.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to get 6 yards, a touchdown, or it's over. Well protected to the end zone. Cat Armstead.
Did he thread that needle or what? All week long, the Ole Miss people, especially Langston Rogers, the venerable SID, says this kid can play.
All right, so I'm about to bring Bobby on, but before I do that, I kind of want to walk through like a confusing thing I'm finding with the Eli Manning as a recruit storyline here. So it's back in 1999, which is the class Eli was in, like the recruiting industry looked totally different. The people who were running Rivals were not the people who actually turned Rivals into a success story, such as my bosses, Shannon, Terry, and Bobby, and those guys who eventually sold Rivals to Yahoo.com. Rivals was kind of different back then, and Bobby Burton actually worked for a website called the National Recruiting Advisor, and he remembers Eli Manning as a can't-miss prospect with four or five-star talent. per any list I can find, Rivals.com listed Eli Manning as a three-star and a number 15 quarterback prospect in the class. Number one in the class was Chris Sims. You can't find any sort of statistical recollection, like an archived list of rankings dating back to 1999. So it appears that something's sort of been lost to the ages here as far as a memory of a recruiting ranking. But Bobby is adamant that when he saw Eli, he saw him and thought four-star talent, five-star talent. And the offer list makes sense. The fact that he was Peyton Manning's younger brother, Archie Manning's son, makes sense. So we're going to toss to Bobby. I'm going to ask him about, okay, there was a disconnect here in the recruiting rankings. We're going to hear what Bobby has to say. We're going to also talk a little bit about Eli Manning's recruitment. So, Bobby, I was watching this football game and kind of realizing I needed to trace back Eli Manning's beginnings, and I started scrambling, thinking of someone who might remember him as a recruit, and then I thought of you, because I remember it in the past. You've talked about Eli before, and obviously you're one of the founding fathers of the recruiting industry, and so I reached out to you, and you told me that you remember quite a bit about Eli, and I'm here to wonder what those recollections exactly are.
Yeah, no doubt. Eli was same class as Chris Sims. Sims was considered the number one quarterback, and Eli was either two or three in that class from a high school standpoint. Obviously ended up probably being the most prolific, though, in the long run. And he was out of New Orleans, Isadora Newman, same as his older brother, Peyton, and was highly, highly recruited.
So I went through the old recruiting rankings, and I'm not even sure there's no archive of the rankings. You can just kind of have to find things like as a list form. And I did find like that Chris Sims was number one. I found Eli, and there's a few other guys too. And maybe it was a glitch, but it says that Eli Manning was a three-star recruit. Does that sound right to you? Or do you think that something got lost over time?
That's absolutely untrue. Eli was considered a national recruit at the highest level. He had offers from coast to coast and was recruited that way.
He was
a four and or five star type recruit. At that time I was still running a company called the National Recruiting Advisor. And that was on the edge of when Rivals was starting and becoming an everyday thing. And having gone down to New Orleans and seen Eli play in high school and seeing Chris Sims in high school and, you know, everybody else in that class, basically, I think the reality of it is that Eli was highly, highly touted. So anybody that's saying he's a three-star is kind of does not have the proper perspective.
So, Bobby, you actually went to Isadora Newman to watch Eli?
No, I didn't go to Isadora Newman. I went to, I believe it was one of the other parochial schools in New Orleans that they were playing at. So I didn't actually go to his high school. I went to Peyton Manning's high school. I went to Isadora Newman for Peyton Manning's game, but for Eli, a couple of years later, I actually went to an opposing high school to watch him play.
Wow, but you still saw both of them in person. Like when you saw Eli, did you kind of know like, okay, really good. He's going to be a great college quarterback. He's going to be an NFL first round pick, but he's probably not going to be as good as his brother. Like, was that already the book on him?
No, that wasn't. Eli actually was physically less developed than Peyton at that time. And a little ganglier, I guess is a good word for it, you know. Meanwhile, Peyton was a little more thick, heavy set, same as they probably are today. And Peyton looked, Eli grew more when he was in college too. The thing that they both had, Peyton was more of this alpha leader type in high school. He was telling everybody what to do. Eli was not. And so that was one of the reasons why he wasn't as highly rated as Peyton. I rated Peyton the number one quarterback in the country coming out. So, but you know, it, to me, Eli is one of those guys that it's a perfect
example of you don't stop growing your senior year of high school. And his eventual choice of Ole Miss was perfect for him because it reunited him with David Cutcliffe, who was the University of Tennessee offensive coordinator for Peyton Manning, and then was the new head coach at Ole Miss. And I thought that the Cutcliffe offense, which was heavy play action, played a good role in it. And Eli, I thought, did a great job of maximizing his ability.
How do you remember that recruitment playing out? You mentioned he had offers from coast to coast. Was Ole Miss a pretty obvious selection, given that Archie played there and Cutcliffe was there at that point?
Well, yeah. No, it was, but it wasn't. So, you know, long story short, Florida was involved. Texas was involved. Florida was kind of not on the outside looking in. He had decided not to go with Tennessee, which is where Peyton went, obviously. He came down to kind of Texas and Ole Miss. And at one point, I thought he was leaning to Texas. But then Texas, after Tennessee got Chris Sims, because Chris Sims initially committed to Tennessee, it looked like Eli might end up at Texas. But then Chris Sims re-engaged with Texas and ended up committing there. And that kind of cast the die, so to speak, and he ended up at Ole Miss. He may have ended up at Ole Miss anyways, regardless, because of the strong tie with David Cutcliffe. But at that point in time, Mack Brown was the head coach at Texas, relatively new head coach at Texas, and Mack and Archie Manning were good friends because Mack had been the head coach at Tulane, and Archie had been over there quite a bit, and the families, not, I wouldn't say the families had grown close, but the two patriarchs had grown close, so to speak. So, but long and short of it, highly recruited, could have went just about anywhere he wanted to. There are a couple places that probably had other quarterbacks in mind for whatever reason, but tremendous, really good prospect, tremendous prospect from a arm perspective. And the question was whether or not he was going to be athletic enough and grow enough to be a great player.
Thank you, Bobby.
All right, thanks, Trey. Be good, man.
All right, bye. All right, Bobby Burton is the founder of 24/7 Sports, who still runs the Texas site Horns 24/7. He's a vital resource to have around. I appreciate him joining us. That's going to do it for today's episode of the College Football Daily. If you appreciate what we're doing, leave us a 5-star rating. We're going to do this game rewatch again from time to time. We're going to need your help picking the next one we do. So for Trey Biddy, for Bobby Burton, for our producer, Tawny Leavitt, I'm Trey Scott, and I will see you on Monday for the next edition of the College Football Daily.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.